So, lekker to be here. Thanks for having me. And really feel like the Lord wants to encourage. So all these words that's come through, I think it's Him, what He wants to do in us. And so I want to speak on two little words this evening. I want to speak on faith and I want to speak on fear, which is quite, it's come through, the fear part's come through, but I want to balance that out with faith this evening, because you are going through a lot of stuff. And I've realized in life, people are normally scared of two things. They're scared of people or the unknown. And so, and I think you're facing the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen with Ryan, who's an amazing, godly man. I love him with all my heart. We don't know what's going to happen with the venue or where we're going to end up. And so, and sometimes we're afraid of what God wants to do through us. And even like the double portion, a word came through. What if God gives me the double portion? Can I actually do it? Can I be faithful to that? All these things are normally in our hearts. And so I want to encourage us through the word, through a man in the Bible, but I want to underpin something, and I want to make it very clear before we get into it, that this story is not about the man, it's about the man who loved God, because God wanted to do something new. And I don't think there's any difference in the day and age that we live. And that man's name is Noah. Can you throw, if Noah had an iPhone, that's kind of what it probably would have looked like. Like, they're the lions, like, hey man, what's happening, you know? And so I love reading the Bible with my imagination, because sometimes it can get so stale if we think of like, and like, Noah was a cool guy. And so we're going to look at Noah this evening and his life and how he navigated faith. I'm glad you guys are laughing, because I laughed it. Like on YouTube, they've got these guys like Elijah. Hey guys, hey man, this is the ball, prophets burned to death. And it's really cool. And then Jonah, that's a cool one. He's like in the fish. He's like, oh God, I should have just said yes. And go watch them. It's really funny. Maybe a little bit on the fringe of blasphemy, but this, yeah. But take it with a pinch of salt. But anyways, in Hebrews 11 verses 7, the writer says this, by faith Noah, so that's the word faith. It's the first word we want to look at. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, remember, we fear the things that we don't see or don't understand. In holy fear, that's the second word I want to look at, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. And so the two major words there is faith and fear. And so and I want to give you handles today, because everyone talks about faith and what it is and what it isn't. And I want to define it, and I want to give a few handles for us, practical handles of how Noah actually lived by faith. Because faith molds us into men and women that God can use. You get that? So by living in faith and allowing our faith to grow, that molds us into men and women who God can use, whether we're fearing or not. Like, there's always fear in us. There's always uncertainty, but faith molds us into people that God can use. So Hebrews 11 verses 1 defines faith like this. Now, faith is being sure, okay, of what is hoped for. Who has our hope? Jesus. So faith is hoping and sure of what we're hoping in Christ. That's the first hinge. The second hinge is, and is certain of what we do not see. So our God is so big, so magnificent, so glorious, that we can be sure and certain that whatever he's doing, whether we understand it or not, whether it hurts us or not, he's still in control, and his purposes and his plans are absolutely 100% spot on. See, that's faith. And so going back to Noah, I think, understood this. And the first handle of Noah's life when it comes to faith is this. Noah had faith in God in his everyday life. So I want to encourage us. If you're a mom and you're looking after toddlers the whole day and you're like, you can have faith in that moment. Or if you're studying, you can have faith where you're studying, or on the sports field, wherever you are. We actually need to live faith first out in our normal day life. I always say I'm a normal guy with normal issues. Like, if you speak to my wife, she'll tell you the worst of me, because she's seen me for 20 years. I'm just a normal guy who loves Jesus and is a little bit crazy every now and again. But it's in our normal day. Like, God is like he's saying to me personally, he's like, Brad, if you're faithful in a little, I'm going to give you more. And the little we overlook, the little is actually really important. Anyway, so Genesis 6 verses 8 and 9. It says this, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah, who was a righteous man, blameless amongst his people of his time, and he walked with God. And so get this picture. God's upset in Genesis 6. People have become evil. There's violence all over the earth. And he says, I want to start again. I want to do something new. I'm going to cause a flood to wipe out every living creature on the earth. That's quite a big thing. And he's looking around, just picture him. Like he's looking around. He's like, who can I use to bring my glory on earth? See, this is not about Noah. It's about God doing what he wanted to do. God initiated. God wanted to reset. God was really angry. He wanted to wipe out the Nephilim. He wanted to wipe out the dinosaurs. Even though T-Rexes are really cute. I don't know. That I don't think they would have gone on so well on the ark. I'm just a joke, but it didn't work because only one person laughed. That's awkward. And so Noah finds favor with God in his everyday life. He's just walking. He's doing his thing. He's the only other guy in the Bible that walked with God. Enoch was the other one. And it's interesting, like there's no, what was he doing? Who knows? There's no record of that. But whatever he was doing in his normal day life before God called him to do something great, he just loved God. He walked with him. And so be encouraged. Wherever you are in your normal day life, if you think you are a loser or your life isn't that exciting or whatever, don't call yourself a loser because that's bad. But if you do, just, if you're a mom, if you're doing the dishes, if you, whatever you're doing, do everything as it's unto the Lord. And have faith in wherever you are. Does this make sense? Very simple. And I think Noah understood God in this way. Religion is, if I obey God, he'll give me all these things and do all these things in my life. That's a religion. I just tick, 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 tick boxes. Relationship, on the other hand, is God is, therefore I will be. And so I think his view of God was so awesome. He was just like, man. And then God was like, you love me. You're walking with me. I'm going to use you in your everyday life. That's the first handle. Second handle, Noah had faith in God in the midst of the warnings and threats. And the threats are quite significant. Literally, God is like, I'm done. I'm over. He actually says that I regret making human beings. He's a little bit angry, a little lot angry. I'm trying to play it down a bit. Because it's just been an encouraging preach, but let me, Spurgeon, who's called the Prince of Preachers, he says this, he's quoted in saying this, Noah's faith believed both the warnings and the promise of God. Okay, so he believed that God was going to bring a flood and wipe out everything, but at the same time, he also believed the promise that him and his family will be saved and a restart will happen. Okay. If he had not believed the threat, he would not have been prepared the ark so that he would not have received the promise. And so having faith in the midst of the warnings and threats, if God is threatening you and warning you, you're probably in sin or you're probably doing something that's not glorifying to him. That is like a, that's a good thing. When your light comes on, when your engine light, check light comes on in your car, it's the light isn't the evil thing. That's telling you, stop the car right now because something bad is going to happen. It's the same with God. If he's threatening you right now, or if your leaders are threatening you in a good way, in like not a threatening way, but you know what I'm talking about. Like if they're warning you about continual sin and things, faith should mold us and we should go, oh, okay, God loves me, disciplines those he loves. He doesn't want me to be unrighteous. Oh, maybe we should have faith in this moment and actually trust God or trust our leaders or whatever, or trust our friends, so that we can be molded into people that actually are faithful to God. Does it make sense? Thank you. Men do not prepare an ark to escape from the flood unless they believe a flood will come. And so Noah had faith in his everyday life. He also had faith in the midst of the warnings and threats, and he believed the warnings and threats, which led him into the promises. And so right now, everything's up and down for us as a congregation, right? And if God is, hey, maybe he's trying to get us out of our comfort zone. Maybe he wants to let go of this ball then because this is going to hinder us from growing into the fullness of what God wants. We don't know yet, but we'll see in the future. Just let go and trust him. Thank you. I said one good thing. The third handle was this. So just to remind us, he had faith in his everyday life. He had faith in the midst of the warnings and threats. He also had faith in the midst of the impossible. And this is my favorite part. Think about this. Genesis 6 Genesis 2:6. You're doing a great job. But streams came up out of the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. What that means is there was no rain ever where it was supposed to rain. There weren't boats in that desert area. No one knew what an ark was. Think about this. This is impossible. Like God comes to him, he talks about, you're going to build an ark out of cedar wood, and you're going to put pitch on it, and it's going to be big. In a desert where there's no rain. I don't even know where he got the trees from. I was thinking about that. Where did he get the trees from? And how did he get the trees? Him and his sons, the three sons. Like where? I don't know. Still trying to figure it out. There's not much there. I was just using my imagination, but that's in the dinosaurs. Yeah. And so God's saying, you're going to do something impossible that's never been seen on earth before. And you're the guy to do it, you and your sons. It's wild. So cool, actually. The ark was 150 meters long, 22.5 meters wide. It's probably wider than this building. Three stories high. Him and his sons built that with their hands. They didn't have cat machines and excavators and stuff. It was by hand. Like, say no safety officers. They say the volume of the boat was 95,700 square feet. In other words, the size of 36 tennis courts. In other words, the size of 569 standard train coaches. And we sheep, right? Because we love Jesus, right? If we put sheep in there, 125,000 sheep would fit in the ark. That's a lot of sheep. That's a lot of choppies. Hey, brothlies. No. It's like impossible. Like they say there's probably like 2,400 species of animals that came on the ark. You know that in Genesis 7 verses 4, and if you go read it, just test me on this. You think he called the animals got in the ark in one day and the door closed. It's not actually true. It took 7 days for them to get all the animals onto that ark. Like have you got it? Well, wow, you're quick. 7 days from now, I will send the rain on earth and for 40 days and 40 nights and I'll wipe them. Like we read that and we miss it. Like it took 7 days. Like imagine, hey, Mr. Lion, come. It's like you, don't eat my leg off. You know, like think about it. It's like wild. It's like impossible. And like it might be for us, like it's impossible to find a venue in this area. We were talking about it the other day. But God, like with what Ryan's going through, it's impossible maybe by the medical field, but God. And so in the impossible, God can shine. That's what makes God God. It's awesome. What's your impossible? Are you allowing the faith that God has given you to mold you into a person that he can use? Oh, so beautiful. Noah's story is so beautiful. But it's about God. Like it's never about Noah. That's what I love about the story. Fourth and last handle. So recap, he had faith in God in his everyday life. Noah had faith in God in the midst of the warnings and threats. Noah had faith in God in the midst of the impossible. And this is a biggie, this last one. Noah had faith in God when no one else followed him. You know that God is calling you to grow for him, for you first. No, don't look at other people. Keep on telling my kids and my wife, babes, you do what you do. Don't worry about them. You grow. You're going to stand before the Lord. I'm going to stand before the Lord one day. He's going to judge me for me, not for what my neighbor did. Now I'm trying to be the best breath that I can be in his spirit. And so you might be going, well, how do you get there? Well, you know, it took Noah, depending on the theologian and how we interpret the scriptures, between 75 and 120 years to build the ark. I mean, that's more than our lifetimes here on earth right now. Like you read it and you don't realize it took him a long time. And in that 75 to 120 years, everyone mocked him. No one believed him. They were laughing at him. They were probably throwing stones at him or, I don't know, flinging things. I don't know what they flung in those days. But think about that. For that amount of time, he was just building this ark that people must have thought he was crazy, man. In a desert where there was never rain, boats weren't a thing. Wild. In 2 Peter 2 verses 5, because you're doing very well. You're vibing. It says this, if he did not spare the ancient world when he when he brought the flood on the ungodly people, but protected Noah, the preacher of righteousness, and seven others. You know what that's saying to me? For all those years, he did what God called him to do. His faith molded him. Not one other person on earth believed him. Think about that. And Noah kept his faith. That's so beautiful. And so, faith in God molds us into men and women that he can use. Fear, on the other hand, and the fear of the Lord specifically, or holy fear, moves us into action. And so while our everyday life is going and there's warnings and threats and the impossible is going on, and what was my alarm? Oh my goodness, I've already forgotten. And if no one even follows us, or no one believes us, or no one, as we're living that daily, the fear of the Lord moves us to do what he's called us to do. To step out of this building and to trust for healing for Ryan and to grow and to, like, the fear of the Lord is a thing that, boah. And so what is the fear of the Lord? That's a good question. Thank you for asking. What is the fear of the Lord? It's so hard to define. But I think the fear of the Lord for me is this. The fear of the Lord is that we see God for a holy, magnificent, powerful God, that we are terrified to be without him. And you see this with Noah. The faith points are the same as the fear points. Like, he was so terrified to be without God. He feared God in his everyday life. He feared God in the warnings and the threats. He feared God in the impossible. What that means is, I'm with you, God. I'm walking with you, God. I'm never going to be out of your presence, God. Help me, God. That's the fear of the Lord. But what we do as Christians is this. We're freaking out. We're having a faith meltdown, or whatever you want to call it, a fear meltdown. And we're like, what do? We just don't come to church. Or don't reach out to our community group. How many of us has that happened to you? Don't put up your hand, but like in your heart, put up your hand. But think about it. When we're sick in the body, we go to a doctor. But when we're sick in the spirit, we run away from the one doctor that we and the family that he's put us in. Think about that. Hopefully this is still encouraging. I'm trying to smile as I'm speaking about it. But it's like, so the fear of the Lord is, if you want to test whether you have the fear of the Lord, is, do you see God for who you really think he says he is in the scriptures? This mighty King, King of glory, the one who created everything just by speaking. He's all over at the same time. You know, he's not confined to this building. Sunday PM is there too. My friends in Brazil, there's an outreach there. Mike Davies and the guys, he's there. That's the God we serve. I'm going to start landing. Yo, I'm doing really well. I put a 25-minute timer and I've got 7 minutes left, so I'm vibing. I'm not going to get a call from anyone tomorrow. It's exciting. Doing good. Well done, bud. Sinclair Ferguson says this, the fear of the Lord tends to take away all other fears. This is the secret to the Christian courage and boldness. And can I just say this? Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's doing it anyway. And like we think, oh, if I want to be bold, I can't have any fear. No, fear is a good thing. Fear keeps us alive. The fear of the Lord keeps us close to him. And there's many scriptures about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of life. Because God is life. And so if we're tucking in with him, we have life. It's amazing. Oh, there's a scripture I actually left out. It's in the Psalms. It says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. I think it's like Psalm 85, yes. What is the Psalm 85, 4 or 5, something like that? Think about this. So the faith that Noah has molds him into a man that God wants to use. The fear keeps him close to God. And what God does is, confiding means this. Hey, bud, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. Think about it. The King of glory confides, whispers his plans and his purposes to those who fear him. That's beautiful. Come on, like, come and say, someone smile or do something. The Pentecostal. I don't know. Like, That's amazing. I want God to whisper. Because when he does, then we don't have fear anymore. Because, hey, God, like, you with me. You're doing stuff, you know. And then I'm going to end with this. Because now I've only got 4 minutes and 58 seconds left. Where the fear of the Lord leads is this. It always leads to obedience. So fear molds us. Faith moves us. And it moves us to obedience. Why do I say this? So I'm going to close with two more scriptures. Short ones. Genesis 6:22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Huh. Genesis 7 verses 5, the next. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. So just as and all. So beautiful. And you know the word ark for the ark is only used twice in the whole of the Bible. The only other time that word specifically is used is the basket that Moses was put into when he went to salvation. And so what that tells me is it's a vessel for salvation and life. And as his faith molds us and his fear moves us, we become the vessel for salvation for those around us. And that is beautiful. And so it's not about the buildings. It's not about our health. It's not about our cliques. It's not about us. What is he doing? And do you want to be part of it? Yes, I want to be part of it. Amen.